Sheffield Live, made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
Everybody, welcome to another Thank Goodness It's Folk here on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM in Sheffield and around the world on www.sheffieldlive.org. And we're on Mixcloud as always, and we welcome all of our Mixcloud listeners who listen after the program goes out on a Friday morning. My name's James Fagan. I'll be with you for 2 hours today while Sam Hindley has a rest in preparation for one of the many gigs he puts on live at Sam's, and we hope you follow his excellent concert series. Wherever you are in the world, we welcome you to today's program. I have a fantastic guest today, Miranda Rutter, talking about her quite incredible record, Bird Tunes, and about how you can see it on tour in the UK, specifically and especially in Sheffield on the 20th of May at the Crucible, but there are dates around the country. I've also got new music from Topette, from John Looms. I've got a wonderful new track from Dan Walsh, and we've got a return to a favourite feature requested by a listener who I'll tell you more about later on, called Fiddler's Green, which are songs that sound traditional but have been written in our lifetimes. And this week's Friday's Child is the Child Ballad 217, The Broom of the Cardinals, a beautiful and well-loved song indeed. All of this and lots more here on Thank Goodness It's Folk. Do join me for 2 hours of great music. Good morning. Wonderful brand new music from Topette. They are on tour in June to celebrate the new album that they've just released. It is called Tazon, and that was the opening track, a set of three-time bourrées. Topette, amazing Anglo-French dance band. And you can see them all around the country. Brighton on the 4th of June, Guildford on the 5th, Northamptonshire on the 6th, Edinburgh on the 7th of June, Newcastle on Tyne on the 8th of June, here in Sheffield at Crooks Social Club on June the 9th, Bangor on the 10th of June, Shrewsbury on the 11th, Gower Folk Festival on the 12th, Stroud on the 13th of June, and Oxfordshire on the 14th. The ticket links and the details of all of those gigs can be found on their website, which is topette.co.uk. And it will be Andy Cutting's last year in the band, they just announced. So do catch them with Andy still on accordion while you can. Topette, wonderful, wonderful music indeed. Welcome to the program, wherever you're listening from. It is spring, going into summer here in the UK. And so if you're on this side, you will be listening to some spring songs, I'm sure. And one of the best spring songs is The Birds in the Spring, sung here by the Copper Family.
One May morning I chanced for to roam, and strolled through the fields by the side of the grove. It was there I did hear the harmless birds sing, and you never heard so sweet.
And you never heard so sweet.
You never heard so sweet as the bird in the spring. At the end of the grove I sat myself down, and the song of the nightingale echoed all around. Their song was so charming, their notes were so clear. No music, no songster.
No music, no songster.
No music, no songster can with them compare. All you that come here, the small birds to hear, I'll have you pay attention, so pray all draw near. And when you're growing old, you will have this to say, that you never heard so sweet.
That you never heard so sweet.
You never heard so sweet as the birds on the spray.
Well, since we're on the subject of birdsong, many of you will know the extraordinary work of Miranda Rutter. Miranda is an English fiddle player, viola player and composer, known for her work with Methera, the English acoustic collective, and also her work with Rob Harbron and Sam Sweeney. Recently, well, about 2 years ago, in fact, Miranda released an extraordinary record called Bird Tunes, and I'll tell you a little bit about it. It's an exquisite set of folk tunes, written by Miranda, but with birdsong at the core of every tune. Miranda crafted each tune in the project out of fragments of birdsong, which she recorded on her phone during woodland walks near her home. And the suite is a love song to the intricacy and beauty of birdsong, and also a timely reminder of the struggles with bird habitat loss and the dangers faced by migrating birds today created by humans. It really is an extraordinary piece of work. I'm going to play you, before we talk to Miranda, I'm going to play you a lovely, lovely tune called Woodwood Birthday Jig, inspired by a recording of an Australian bird, the woodwood, which is an indigenous name for what the Western settlers called the pied butcher bird. It's got an extraordinary call. What you'll hear is the bird call recorded by Miranda's sister in Australia and then turned into this incredible piece of music by Miranda. So after we hear the piece of music, we'll be talking to Miranda from her home, and she'll explain to us a little bit more about how she came to make the music and what she finds inspiring in the bird song and the birds around her every day. I really loved talking to Miranda, and I really hope that you enjoy this interview. But first, Woodwood Birthday Jig.
Hello, James.
Hello, Miranda. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very well. And you're on Thank Goodness It's Folk. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on the programme. It's a wonderful programme.
Well, you're very welcome, Miranda. It's 2 years. It's hard to believe it. It's 2 years since May Day 2024, when you officially released your amazing record, Bird Tunes. That 2 years just has flown by, hasn't it?
It really has. It's been a most incredible voyage of discovery. I really feel like the project has fledged and unfurled its wings, and I've been clinging on for an amazing ride. It's really been amazing. And it's still going. Just last week, I was in the Forest of Dean recording an incredible pied flycatcher who'd just flown all the way from West Africa. And I was just standing underneath him with my phone pointing at him, recording him in total awe. And I just feel like I'm learning more every day, particularly in this wonderful spring season. It's an incredible project to be part of.
Absolutely, Miranda. Well, we played tracks when it first came out a couple of years ago. We've played tracks subsequently. And last week or the week before, I featured one of my favourite pairs of tracks about the Skylark. But I was actually going to ask you something you've already preempted, which is this time of year, May especially, it's a very meaningful time, not just for people who are involved in any kind of English ritual dance like yourself and Rob and Sam, who you play on this record with. May is where it's at, isn't it? But as well as all of the burgeoning spring and the incredible flowers, it's a great time for birds, isn't it?
It really is. It really is. So the birds that live here all year round, they're busy staking out their territory and really have been since April. But there's also this incredible influx of birds who've migrated halfway across the planet. And some of them are so small. And their songs join the dawn chorus and join the chorus throughout the rest of the morning as well. Again, I found it fascinating that although at dawn, they're all singing as the morning goes on, you get to hear the individual voices. And it's watching and hearing those individuals who've landed in the bush by your house, despite travelling so far, is incredibly humbling. But yes, it is the time of year, and the the time of year for all these celebrations, for the Morris and for other traditions in this country, are so woven in to the birdsong. And the cuckoo and the nightingale arriving here have been so part of our customs. So, yes, I stand in a long line of musicians and human beings across the planet who've been inspired by the coming of spring.
Miranda, that's absolutely lovely to hear. You mentioned that you're still learning. Obviously, the original album, which you made in 2024, or you completed and launched in 2024 anyway, for people who don't know, was your sort of reflection and inspiration from the bird calls that you'd been listening to and recording, and in most cases making a map of, and then responding with original dance tunes based on some of the motifs that you managed to glean from the bird calls. It was such an amazing thing to when we first saw it. For people who haven't seen it live, there's an opportunity to do that very soon. We're about to talk about that. But you said you're still learning. What since you released the record, what more have you come to glean about your incredible musical friends that live all around you where you are in the Stroud area?
Well, so much about the intricacies of their song. I'm learning now that some of the blackbirds that I recorded around here, and yes, as you say, I chose just small fragments of their song, you know, just one tiny little snippet of the wide range of all that they're singing. And I copied those. I brought home the recordings and sat for hours trying to carefully pitch match them on the violin, and then try to tonally match them as well. And then took those four or five note phrases as like a question phrase within the, you know, the traditional structure of a folk tune very often has a question phrase followed by an answer. Then that same question comes back, which I love because in nature, the birds come back to their favorite phrases. So in a way, this you know, co-writing these tunes with the bird is kind of a reflection of that. But the more I learn, the more I sort of wonder whether humans' music is based on, has been learnt from the birds in the first place, because I find it fascinating how often the notes fit exactly into the Western classical scale. So the tune that I wrote called The Golden Blackbird, he sings in F major. it just fits that exactly. And the Woodwood tune, which is the Pied Butcher Bird from Australia.
Yes, we just heard that before we came on air. That's the first thing I played today.
And that recording is not changed in any way. That's exactly how it came out. And I just had to learn the notes, and all of those notes pretty much, you know, fit into the tones and semitones that we recognize so sort of readily down. But I wonder if we learnt them from the birds in the first place. So there we go.
That's a lovely speculation. Miranda, I was lucky enough to see the show live at Folk East just after the record came out. And I was sort of expecting it because I had listened to the record quite a lot before I came along. But it was amazing watching people in the audience who didn't know what they were about to watch. They knew that they were seeing yourself and Rob Harbin and Sam Sweeney. They knew from the title that there might be some inspiration drawn from birds. It's in the clues in the name, right? But I don't think... I think people who were seeing it for the first time, there's an awe and there's a wonder when people first hear the connections. And Rob very beautifully is able to show people the samples live, and then you respond to them live on stage. What is it like when you have new audience members? What does that feel like when you see the ripple going around the room?
It's enormous. It's a big feeling. I don't feel like it's me. I feel like I've touched a chord that is a universal experience, really. And sometimes just playing the notes on the violin, which is a more kind of human, you know, a thing that we're so used to as humans, it kind of gives away into birdsong in a way that we're kind of, we are latently all kind of tapped into or resonate with, but this just kind of brings just another access point in a way. So I think that's what I feel with audiences, that it's sort of like it's almost like a coming home for them. I have experienced that by doing this project, and so by sort of doing that in gigs, I know the experience that people are going through. So I think we're all sort of feeling it together, as it were.
Definitely.
I think it's a very deep feeling, yeah.
Well, it's something that people should definitely come and see if they can. And the reason I wanted to talk to you today is that on the 20th of May in Sheffield at the Crucible, you are bringing Bird Tunes to the hallowed rooms of the Crucible, which Sheffield people sometimes need to be reminded of, are not just the home of the World Snooker Championship, but are in fact, and it's a beautiful place to play. And I think it might be the first time you've brought Bird Tunes to Sheffield, isn't it?
It is, absolutely, yes. I'm very at home doing gigs in little village halls, so very, very excited to not just be coming up country a bit, but also to such, as you say, a wonderful place to play. So I feel very honoured.
We are honoured to have you, and I really want to urge to people in Sheffield that the Crucible maybe doesn't put on as much folk as it used to. It was great when Roy Bailey was still one of the patrons of the Trust there, because he used to put on quite a lot of acoustic music and folk. It's dropped off a bit. And so I'm really concerned that people find out about this, and people listening to the show today who aren't necessarily folkies, I want them to open their ears and their hearts. If you're driving around the Ring Road today in Sheffield and you hear this incredible music, you can see it at the Crucible on the 20th of May. And I really urge that you do, because having seen this show, I can tell you that it is going to move you in ways that you could not possibly expect. There are tickets available, Miranda, on May the 20th at the Crucible. So that's our plug for getting it. If they just look up the Crucible Playhouse in Sheffield, they'll find tickets. If they want to go a bit further, they can type in Miranda Rutter, Bird Tunes, and they'll also be able to find your beautiful album on Bandcamp, where they can hear the music if they want to try it before they come along. And of course, they can buy it there as well. Miranda, it's going to be fantastic. It's a beautiful acoustic space, perfect for what you're doing. But it's not the only gig on the tour, is it?
No, we've got a few others. We're playing at Taunton Brew House down in the south on the 28th of May, Thursday. And then we're playing at Guildford as part of the Beautiful Folk Inspiration Project on Saturday the 30th, and we're doing a workshop before that as well. And then on the 31st, Sunday the 31st of May, we're playing at the Fleece in Bretcherton. So yes, there's a few gigs around the country.
All delightful venues and all wonderful. And I hope to be at the Sheffield gig at the Crucible. If not, I'll try and get down to the Fleece, because any excuse to go to the Fleece in Bretcherton is a good one. Miranda, we here on Sheffield Live, thank goodness it's folk, we always like to thank anybody who saw the sunrise up on May Day. I think there's a chance you probably did, because you're involved with local Morris. Were you up at dawn on May Day?
We were, yes, we were up on Rodborough Common, and it was a glorious one this year. We actually saw the sun come over the horizon.
Oh, gosh.
So, I agree. I like to thank everybody else who's done the same.
Well, yes, on behalf of the Sheffield dance community and all of us who follow Morris Dance, even if we don't do it ourselves, thank you to you and your friends and comrades in Morris for continuing to dance up the sun and to respond to it with beautiful music. You're rehearsing tonight, I believe, with the Boss Morris team from your area. We have played the music of Boss Morris on the program before, and I probably will slip another piece in today. Is there anything you want to tell the listeners about Boss Morris while you've got me on the line here?
Boss is very busy at the moment. Mm. We are doing lots of workshops. We've just actually had a couple of schools workshops, which was a privilege to do. So we had five different primary school groups dancing the Morris. Before May Day. And yes, I think Boss are going to be turning up at festivals as the season unfolds.
Wonderful.
Keep your eye out.
Well, we certainly will. Miranda, we heard one of my favourite tracks on record, for obvious reasons, the Woodward Birthday Jig. Woodward being one of the Indigenous Australian names for the pied butcher bird, a bird which I know very well and is one of my all-time favourites in Australia. Quite a plain-looking bird, but what a song. And my mum is an avid talker and listener to the butcher bird or the woodwood. And so that's a track with her. But I thought it would be nice if you could introduce a tune to go out with. And you've mentioned it already. Tell us about the Golden Blackbird Jig.
Oh, yeah. So I was on One part of the jigsaw puzzle of me becoming so entranced with birdsong was a wonderful couple of CDs compiled by a man called Jeff Sample. He used to be a sound engineer, but he turned into a nature recordist, and he compiled the Collins Guide to Birdsong of Northern Europe.
Gosh.
And on this record, there I was listening to it as I was chopping up supper one evening. I was totally stopped in my tracks by the singing of a bird that I then discovered was the golden oriole.
Mm.
It sounded like a bird from the jungle.
Mm.
And so I quickly did some research to find out where on earth in England I could hear it, and discovered that they used to nest in Suffolk. And off we went to Laken Heath, the RSPB reserve. And I discovered I was 10 days too late, but also a couple of years too late, because they're no longer nesting there.
Mm.
Partly because the aspen trees that we used to grow for matches are no longer needed, and so they've been clear felled.
Right.
But I came home a little crestfallen, a little sad, but doing my normal morning walk on subsequent mornings, there was this blackbird singing from a yew tree so beautifully. It just made me realise, oh, come on, Miranda, the gold that you are searching for is in your own backyard. And I recorded this particular blackbird 4 or 5 mornings in a row, and learnt to play some of his signature motif, some of his little snippets of song. And I co-wrote this song as a celebration of beauty in the everyday, and a longing for not taking such beauty for granted. So that's what this tune is about, and I called it the Golden Blackbird Jig.
Thank you, Miranda. We love the record, and it's so delightful that you're coming with Sam and Rob to Sheffield, and I urge people, as I said, to come and see you and hear this beautiful music on May the 20th at the Crucible. Hope to see you there, and if I can't make it, Miranda, I will see you around the festivals. Have a lovely, lovely summer, and it's been lovely to have you on Thank Goodness It's Folk.
Thank you so, so much, James. It's a wonderful program you do. Thank you.
Cheers. was Trunkles from Boss Morris, a wonderful album featuring the Boss Morris team themselves dancing and the music of Miranda Rutter, Rob Harbron and Sam Sweeney, who are coming to Sheffield on the 20th of May to present Miranda's beautiful record, Bird Tunes, some of which you've just heard, and I do hope you enjoyed it as much as I do. It's fantastic. Big congratulations to John Looms, who was our guest for a chat last week on the program about his new album, Dust in the Sun. The reason we talked to him last week was that he was in the process of a Kickstarter to raise money, not just to release the album and an LP version of it, but an accompanying novel that came to John while he was trying to write the sleeve notes. John, if you don't know him, is a prolific wordsmith, and it's no surprise that 80,000 words into his sleeve notes, he realised he was writing a book, and that is what he is going to be releasing very soon. And I'm pleased to say the Kickstarter was a success. He's raised the money, so look out for the new album from John Looms and the accompanying novel. And thank you to anyone who heard that who got involved in the Kickstarter. John was talking to me about his efforts to make the album sound like an authentic album recorded on analog in the 1970s, and he went to great trouble to listen to a bunch of records. And being an audio engineer himself, as well as a great singer and guitarist, John was able to do what most of us couldn't, which is to understand how those recordings were made in the first place. So it's no surprise that the album that he's made now has the reminiscences of that audio experience when you hear it. And no track shows this more, I think, than his great version of the epic Bonnie Bunch of Roses, which is based very strongly on the sound of the album Penguin Eggs by Nick Jones, which is one of his very favourites. So you'll be fascinated, I'm sure, if you're familiar with Nick Jones's work, particularly the recording Penguin Eggs, to hear how John has paid homage to that soundscape very, very closely indeed, but with his own beautiful take on this song, Bonnie Bunch of Roses. This comes from John's forthcoming record, Dust in the Sun.
By the margin of the ocean, one pleasant evening in the month of June, the pleasant warbling blackbirds their song so sweetly sang in tune. I overheard a female who was in great sorrow, grief and woe, conversing with young Bonaparte, and all on the bonny bunch of roses hold. It was up then spoke young Bonaparte, and he took his mother by the hand, saying, "Mother dear, be patient, for soon I shall take command. I will raise a terrible army, and through tremendous dangers go, and in spite of all the universe, I will conquer the bonny bunch of roses, oh." When first you saw Napoleon, you fell all on your bended knee, and you asked your father's life of him. He granted it most manfully. It was then he took his armies, and over the frozen Alps did go. He swore to conquer and return for the bonny bunch of roses home. He took 900,000 men, Kings and princes likewise did join his throng. He was so well provided for, enough to sweep the world along. But when he came to Moscow, all through the bitter ice and snow, all Moscow was ablazing, and he lost the bonny bunch of roses, Oh, son, never speak so venturesome, for England is the heart of oak, and England, Ireland, Scotland, their unity shall ne'er be broke. So, son, look to your father. In St. Helena, his body lies, and yours may soon follow after. So beware of the bonny bunch of roses, oh. Oh, mother, farewell forever. Now I'm lying in my dying bed. Been clever, but now I bow my youthful head. But what are bones to moulder, and weeping willows over us to grow? The deeds of brave Napoleon shall sting the bonny bunch of roses, oh.
I remember when I first drove with my dad up to Grass Valley, 4 hours north of San Francisco, just outside Nevada City. The road winding through those dry brown hills of gold country, was 10 years old and happy, out of school a week early. We drove past the welcome sign, people playing neath the pines, heard the music floating from the stage. Pitched our tent and walked around, my heart opened to the sound. I didn't know it then, but my life turned a page. Standing round jamming to the sound of Little Annie, baptized in the campground of Grass Valley. Deadheads in tie-dye red, dog music devotees like nothing I had ever heard or seen. It was jam grass for the hippies, old stuff from the 50s, just about nothing in between. long, boy, only knew a couple songs while Boulder Kids sat in with the band. I watched and envied from afar, head bowed down over my guitar, praying to catch that magic in my hands. Standing round, jamming to the sounds of Little Annie, baptized in the campgrounds, the Grass Valley. Foothills of old country, same songs being played, singing in the shade of the pine trees. A shy kid with a mandolin, I could see her on the sideline staring at me. She looks just like I did the first time that I came to Grass Valley. Standing round, jamming to the sounds of Little Annie, baptized in the campgrounds, Grass Valley.
Molly Tuttle from her album Crooked Tree, that was Grass Valley. Absolutely love that song. Let's head up to Scotland now from the extraordinary record Symbiosis 2 by Ross Ainslie and Ali Hutton, one of my sons Harry and Hamish's favourite records. This is Kings. Don't go away, because after the break, we're going to have another hour of great music here, including this week's Friday's Child and the return of the Fiddler's Green feature, which is a song that sounds traditional but isn't. But in the meantime, I would like to leave you in this half with the beautiful voice of Rebecca Hearn singing Twa Corbies on our bird theme, accompanied by Kit Massey. This is gorgeous.
As I was walking on a lane, I heard twa corbies making mail. The ten unto the other say, where shall we gan and dine today? In behint on old fell dyke, I walk. Put his hawk, his hand, and lady fair. The wind shall blow.